Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to thank you for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we are here every Wednesday. That's every Wednesday, and we do invite you to be a part of this interactive Bible study. What is an interactive Bible study that gives you an opportunity to be able to call in and participate, to be a part of this Bible blog. So we do thank you for tuning in. If there are any questions that you may have, we just ask that you would just share them. Your mics will be potted open. What does that mean? That on your phone or however you are listening, if you're listening by phone or whatever electronic device that you're listening, if you want to communicate, all you would just have to do is speak up, and we're going to have your mics in. But we do ask that since we have our mics potted up, that you would be cautious about the noise level, because we can hear everything in the background. Amen. Not only can I hear it, but everyone who's participating can hear what's in the background. So we do ask that if you have anything going on in the background, that you would mute it, and then when you are ready to share what God has placed on your heart or participate, then you can unmute your mic. We're going to move on. We're going to have prayer. And directly after we have paid prayer, you know, we're going to move on into the scripture. We have a lot that we're going to try to exegete as we go through Exodus 35 and Exodus 37. And the reason of that is because what was placed on the blog was Ezekiel. I said Exodus, Ezekiel 35, and the actual scripture that we wanted to use was coming from Ezekiel 37, 1 through 7. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you for just guiding and directing our path. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that even though that as we move forward in your name, Father, that you would just guide and that you would direct each and everything that we do. We know that we are guided and directed by you, Heavenly Father, when you are in our lives. And we thank you for all the things that you have done for us since our very birth. You have protected us from danger even when we did not know it was there. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the love of Jesus Christ who showed his death on the cross. We thank you for knowing that we have the Holy Spirit within us, that we share it each and every time that we come together. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would just allow that Spirit to be able to fill us up, Heavenly Father, until it overflows. And then we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would bless the sick and afflicted. You know just who they are. Father, we have Pastor Paul Robinson, who was asked for prayer. We continue to keep him on our prayer list. Minister Bill Robinson from Atlanta, we keep him on our prayer list. Sister Jeanette Dickerson from out of Alabama, we keep her on our prayer list. Father, we ask for Stuart Hawthorne that you would continue to keep him in your prayer. Father, we thank you for the miraculous recovery that we're seeing in him, Lord, and he is moving closer and closer to being able to come home after all that has happened. And Lord, Father, you are God who know how to show up and show out. We thank you for that. And Lord, Father, if there's anyone that we've left out, Father, we're going to also ask for prayer for Yolonia, Yolonia Clay, Father, a special person here as well. We ask that you would just give her traveling grace, Heavenly Father, as she travels to and from, Heavenly Father. Lord, Father, we thank you for the households that listen in. We ask for an anointing in those households, Father. Lord, that your Holy Spirit within those households, Father. Father, anything that comes in those households, in the hospitals, wherever anyone may be sick, Father, we come against it in the name of Jesus. You've given us the authority to call those things that are as though they're not. And Father, we speak life, Heavenly Father. We speak life into existence in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would bless this radio blog. Bless your word, Heavenly Father. It was a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. Bless it, Father. Bless it. Let it be a blessing, Father, to the hearers, Heavenly Father. Use us as vessels. Father, we don't claim the victory, Father. We give you all the victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, we're moving on into our topic. And again, we have a lot that we are going to try to break down and interpret. And it's Ezekiel 35, and that's going to be, I believe, it's 1 through 14. And then we're going to move on over into Ezekiel 37. And if one of you men and women of God, if you would pull out Ezekiel 37, I do not have that up, but if you could pull it up when it's time to read, if you could just read that from the Word of God. Amen. We're going to read Ezekiel 35. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir and prophesy against it. And say to it, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, Mount Seir, and I will stretch out my hand against you, and I will make you I will make you a desolate and a waste. I will lay your cities waste, and you shall become a desolation, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Because you cherished perpetual enmity and gave over the people of Israel the power of the sword at the time of their calamity, at the time of their final punishment, therefore, as I live, declares the Lord God, I will prepare you for blood, and blood shall you pursue. Because you did not hate bloodshed, therefore blood shall pursue you. I will make Mount Seir a waste and a desolation, and I will cut off it from all who come and go. And I will fill the mountains with the stain on your hills and in your valleys and in your ravines, ravines, and those stains within the sward shall fall. I will make you a perpetual desolation, and your cities shall not be inhabited. Then you will know that I am God, because you said, the two nations and these two countries shall be mine. And we shall take possession of them. Although the Lord was there, therefore, as I live, declares the Lord God, I will deal with you according to the anger and envy that you showed because of your hatred against them. And I will make myself known among them when I judge you. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. And that is the reading of the word on Ezekiel 35, 1 through 12. And as we move on, we're going to move on, and we're going to, as we do, this is an interactive Bible study, and we're going to open it up for comments, anyone that would like to comment. Amen. As we move in, we talk about Ezekiel 35, 1 through 4. When we talk about, and it says Mount Seir, it uses the word Mount Seir. Mount Seir is considered a mountainous region, and it stretches between the Dead Sea and the Gulf of Aqaba. It is considered the border between Edom and Judah. Amen? So when we talk about Mount Seir, what it says in here, that's what it is. So just look at it as considered as a mountainous region at that particular time. And God said, I am against you, Mount Seir. Edom's geographical name in the mountain was considered in the east. So when he says, I am against you, Mount Seir, he's talking about Edom, the Edomites during that time. I am against you. And as we get further, we're going to talk about in terms of why the Lord says, I am against you. When we move down into 35, 5 through 9, we move down into Ezekiel 35, 5 through 9. And here it's explaining that Edom would be judged for its sin. And what was the sin? It was the hostility against Israel. That's what was happening here. Edom's sin was against Israel. There was a hostility there against Israel. And that hostility was delivered over into the Israelites
where Israel was taking over by the sword. And what it means by the sword is they were taking, Israel was taken over. When Israel was taken over. Okay, so we're talking about, you know, a fight between land. That's all this is, just a fight between land. Who has and who has not? And it goes on to say that Edom, and we're talking about Edom, and we know when Edom, let's just break that down. Edom is was considered, he was considered, there was a region by the Dead Sea. But Edom was is considered a descendant of Esau. Okay, so I want to break that out. Edom was considered a descendant of Esau. So you're going to see that a lot, Edom's sin. Okay, and when it goes on, it says Edom hoped to profit from Israel's loss, and she resisted when Israel began to collapse. When Israel began to fall apart, Edom, because there was jealousy, because there was hatred, Edom was happy because of that. And that's where we're going with here, with the Lord. And let me just say to you, my brothers and my sisters, men and women of God, if God is for you, who can be against you? Let me say that again. If God is for you, then who can be against you? All right? And as we look at this, as this story unveils, And here's what's happening with Ezekiel, and Ezekiel's looking at and explaining why Edom would be judged during this time. And because Edom had assisted with Israel's slaughter, he was a part, Edom was a part of that. And God would assist her slaughter. And it talks about God referred, when God talks about the bloodshed, was referred to the bloodshed. The bloodshed was Mount Seir. The bloodshed was considered Mount Seir because there were so many killings, there were so many deaths during that time that Mount Seir was considered red, and that was because of bloodshed. Amen? So when God refers to bloodshed, that's what he's talking about. And what happened was, during that time, Edom's name did not hate bloodshed. The name did not hate bloodshed, but because of the jealousy, God said that bloodshed will pursue you.
Wow.
It will pursue you. And that's because many people were slain in that town. And so many people were slain during that town that the town became desolate, and it became inhabited. There was no one that was alive. It was just a dead, desolate place because of all the bloodshed. And when it goes on and they're talking, we look at 35:10-15. Ezekiel again uses, he talks about Edom and Edom's sin in her desire to possess the land that God promised to Judah and Israel. Edom had sinned because of the desire to possess the land that God has promised for Judah and Israel. And so now we're looking at two nations. These two nations became a possession. And God would chastise, he chastised Israel and Judah for their sin. But let me say, let me look here. Because of their sin during that time and their rebellion for God because they turned their backs on God, let me say something. If God is for you, God is for you. What God has for you is for you. Amen? Because as we look, and this whole picture is going to turn around, because God has promised Israel and Judah that land, but it did not go to Israel and Judah. But yet, God did not change his ways. He didn't change his attitude because of his promise. And that's why we say when God, listen, God is a God who cannot lie. He may chastise you and I for our sins, but if there is a promise that God has made for you and I, you can be rest assured that it is going to happen. It is going to happen.
Amen.
So as we move on, and we talk about in terms of God chastised Israel and Judah for their sin, but he never overturned his promises made to Abraham and his descendants. Amen? And we, you know that promise that God had made to Abraham and his descendants. Edom was trying, to get the deed to the land, which had been guaranteed by God. He was trying to get the deed to the land. He wanted the land, and that's all it was. So it moves on God's judgment on Edom's guilt. And it talks about in terms of the anger and the jealousy and the hatred that was there. Edom had plotted against God's chosen people. And so now, his chosen people was now experiencing consequences. And in Edom, because of because they were overturned, because of the hostility, because of the hatred, because the land was taken over, Edom boasted about it. He boasted about it. Edom rejoiced when Israel became desolate. When the people were all gone, they were departed, and there was a state of emptiness, Edom rejoiced. And that's where it goes in and it talks about him boasting against God. Let me tell you something. That's why, you know, we talk about and we look at when God, when you are a man, a woman of God, when you have given your heart to God, let me tell you something. When someone comes against you, you may feel the consequences because of it happening. But let me tell you something. In the end, God has the final word. God has the final word. So as we move, Edom, we talk about in terms of where Israel became desolate during that time, and Edom became, what happened was Edom, there was a lesson to be learned out of this. And the lesson to be learned is when God restores Israel's fortune in the future. Israel suffered the consequences, but God restored it. Why? Because they were God's chosen people. He would judge the world, and he judges nations based on their treatment toward Israel. And even though that Israel messed up, even though that Israel messed up during that time, God still restored Israel. Israel fell short, but God still restored Israel.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking at to get out of this. There's the lesson that we learn here, that what God has for you is for
you. For you.
You may go through a time of trial. You may go through some trying times, no matter what you may be going through. God has a promise for you, my brother, my sister. Let me tell you something. It's going to happen. You can bet on it. It's going to happen. And that's what we're getting from this illustration here. God promised Abraham. He made a promise to Abraham. And Israel, even though that Israel suffered in this story, in the end, Israel, the future for Israel was restored. Amen? So as we mourn, when God restores Israel fortune and the future, it's based on that treatment against Israel.
Amen.
Yeah, I like that. Amen. Because Edom, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I was, as you were talking, that Edom is just like us. You know. Sometimes people fall from grace, yes. But you never kick people when they're down. The Word of God says, restore such a one, considering your own self. And a lot of people, that's what they do. They see, oh, you're going through that. Oh, you did something against God. Okay, God is reprimanding you now. Now this is my time to, like, mash your head in the ground too. This is my time. But you see what God did? He had already had his covering over them. Even though Israel and them had to get that spanking, God still, his promises were still yea and amen. His promises were still that they shall rise after they come through this. But that daggone Edom, what they did was they took advantage of them while they were down.
And you know,
not knowing that. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I thought you were finished.
Yeah, not knowing that in the end, God was going to raise them up anyway. That was just their time to get that reprimand. That was their time to get that reprimand. But so many people, that's what they do. They do the same thing. You know, it's sad to say, but they do the same thing. You know, when people have fallen from grace, or they've done a bad thing, or something against God, or they were disobedient or whatever, and they had to suffer that consequence, and this is their time. Yeah, let me step on them too. Yeah, but you don't know what God is doing, because like the elder said, God still restored them. They just had to go through it. But that Eden. I'm done.
All mics open. If you have a comment, just join in. We have an interactive Bible study, and we're just feeding on the Word of God. And those who are listening by internet, they're just listening, and they're feeding on what we have to say. Amen? The mics open. Amen. There was a comment. 4-3, did you have a comment?
No, go ahead. I forgot what I was
going to
say.
Sorry. You should have just jumped in.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know what? This is a good word, and it's a reminder, number one, that, you know, don't get too big for your britches.
That's good. Right there.
Number one.
That's good.
And number two, I know what I was thinking of. Number two, the scripture in Isaiah, and I can't put my finger on it, where the Lord says he'll ransom a nation for you. And for us as believers, that if we're going through something, or you're working with hard to deal with people or folks, and you're in a situation, you have to remember who you are. Just be still, be quiet, and let God do it, because the Lord loves you.
In spite of what's going on,
the Lord will bring you through. I keep trying to find that scripture.
But that's good what you're saying.
I know it's in Isaiah, but ransoming me. Isaiah 43:3.
Okay.
For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead.
Amen.
So nothing, you know, nothing more precious to him than his children, So for us for today, regardless of what you see going on around the world, regardless of how impossible it looks, the Lord has you.
Amen.
He's got you in the palm of his hand.
Amen.
But you know, no matter how impossible things look, God will always make them possible because of his faithfulness. He'll make things. He'll make us see things that we didn't believe we could ever see. I'm a living witness to that.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And you know what? I think the Lord likes that way, that if it were so easy, we wouldn't do like we do. Like when the Lord does these impossible things, like when my husband's talking about with my father, the doctors told us there's no hope, he wasn't going to get better, this is, you know, going to last for this, that, and the other. And when we went to the doctor with Daddy, the doctor's sitting there staring at my father and saying, "This is a miracle." See, the Lord likes the things that the man will call miracles and impossible. God says, "You know, it's just nothing but a word to Him. It's nothing but a word. Just like Amen. He spoke us into existence, spoke this universe into existence. It was nothing but a word, a breath."
That's
he breathes life into us, that he just speaks it and there it is.
That's
so it's
good.
It's not hard for him. It looks impossible for us. And I think that he gets joy out of us praising him and sharing the good news about what he's done and giving him credit for it. And that's why we have to like tell it when the Lord has done things to restore us. We have to speak it and tell it and praise him and dance.
Because
we love, dance like David did.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're going to move on over. We're going to do a shift, and we did from 35, 1 through 14. Now we're going to move on over into 37, 1 through 10. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10. Does anyone have it? If not, I will read it.
I have it in a different translation.
Amen.
It's in today's English version. And I was just sitting here reading through this. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10. And I love the way they do this because it puts it in layman's terms, I believe. It says, I felt the powerful presence of the Lord, and his spirit took me and set me down in a valley where the ground was covered with bones. He led me all around the valley, and I could see that there were very many bones and that they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal man, can these bones come back to life?" I replied, "Sovereign Lord, only you can answer that." And he said, "Prophesy to the bones. Tell these dry bones to listen to the word of the Lord. Tell them that that the sovereign Lord am saying to them, I am going to put breath, hallelujah, into
hallelujah.
You and bring you back to life.
Yes.
I will give you sinews and muscles and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and bring you back to life." That's a word for somebody right there. "Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been told. While I was speaking, I heard a rattling noise, and the bones began to join together. Boy, I'm getting chills on this. While I watched, the bones were covered with sinews and muscles. And then with skin. But there was no breath in the bodies. God said to me, "Mortal man, prophesy to the wind. Tell the wind that the sovereign Lord commands it to come from every direction to breathe into these dead bodies."
Yes.
Look out, y'all. "And to bring them back to life." So I prophesied as I had been told. Breath entered the bodies, and they came to life and stood up. Wow. And there were enough of them to form an army. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
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 Woo.
In my time,
boy, that spoke to me just reading that.
Go ahead, Pastor.
No, I was just saying that spoke to me just reading it. I mean, that's...
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And my title this evening for you that are listening, what's next in your life?
Wow.
What's next in your life? when everything in your life turns dry, and you say to yourself, I've done this for years. I've been doing this over and over and over again. What's next when everything dies? That's just a question. Where do I go next? What is the Lord asking me to do next? Sure, I'll say yes, Lord, but where does he want me to go? To the east? To the west? To the north?
Wow.
What does he want me to do? And that becomes a question with all of the believers. And that's what the Spirit had instilled in me to come with this scripture. Because we get stuck with that question. What's next? I feel like I'm standing still. I feel like these bones have become dry because I don't have the same divine inspiration that I used to have before.
Wow.
I've become dry. Am I drying up, Lord? Am I finished? What's next? And here, we're looking at where Ezekiel is talking about the hand of the Lord came upon me. When we ask that question to the Lord, God answers. When we talk to the Lord, God has his own timing, but he answers. And when we feel like that we are just in a place that's just stuck and we don't know where to go and how to move, God answers.
Mm-hmm.
What's next in your life?
What's next in your life?
And here, we're talking about an overwhelming divine inspiration. An overwhelming divine inspiration. That means that we come back alive, mentally stimulating. We become excited about what we're doing again. It's not just routine, but we have a new life, a new excitement. It becomes overwhelmingly divine. And any time that something becomes divine, that's the work of the Lord. That's the inspiration of the Lord. And here, we're talking about happiness. Now, I might be talking to you to the point all of a sudden you're smiling, you're laughing, but inside, you're sad. Why? Because you feel like something's missing. And you're seeking, we are seeking for that overwhelming divine inspiration. We're seeking for that ecstatic spirit of the God. We're seeking for that overwhelming happiness so that we can become excited about what we're doing. Get up in the morning and we can't wait to start working. And here, Ezekiel announces the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me. And he's talking about something that happened to him. Something that changed his life. He was one way, but then all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and his life changed. He began to start to see things different. He began to start to see things different. Where things were dry, where things looked like they were dead, they began to start to come alive. And then he asks, can these dry bones live again?
Live.
Now, are we talking to somebody out there that feel like you might be dead? That feel like, you know, everything that you're doing for the Lord has come to a halt? Come on, man. Don't act like everybody out there is really not excited for the Lord. I'm talking about human nature. I'm talking about that human side of us. I'm talking about that human side of us. And it says, can these dry bones live again? And when it talks about later or earlier, and it talks about what happens is, and it prophesies, and he prophesies. Prophesies, when we're talking about prophesying, that's giving You're telling someone what's going to happen. You're giving someone the future as you see it. When you're speaking and prophesying into someone's life, you're telling them what's going to happen. You're speaking with divine authority from God.
You know, Pastor Elder, I was questioned just yesterday on that. Did I still believe in prophesying? Do I believe in prophecy or prophesying? Mm. And you know, and some people, I know where we are, but some people are they get so caught up in just church, they forget about the gifts that God has given to man and woman to prophesy. And,
amen.
You know, and my answer with no hesitation was yes. I believe
in prophecy. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I mean, you read it right here. Ezekiel was just a man, but the Spirit of the Lord moved up on him and told him to prophesy.
Yes, sir.
And what did he prophesy to? Dry bones, a valley.
Yes, sir.
Full of dry bones. Woo, I'm going
dry bones
right now.
Valley
full of dry bones. Our people, and I'm not just talking about our people as black people. I'm talking about all people all over this land and country who are pagan, who are living the pagan life or nothing but dry bones. But God can speak a word through you, through one of the other pastors, through one of the other ministers, that God can speak a word of prophecy through them and cause that dry bone to come together. And right now, I believe, this is just me, but I believe that we are in a valley of dry bone. And preachers and pastors need to step up and stand up for God.
You're going somewhere.
Speak a word to these dry bones so that they can live again. People are dying because we're not speaking like we should speak. Paul said in Ephesians 6 that we should speak boldly as we ought to. As God has given us the power and the authority to speak.
I just
start talking about prophesying. It just does something to me. And then when we read this, about Ezekiel, go ahead, Elder.
Yes, sir. Amen. Good word. You know, I want to identify two things as we speak on this. I want to identify two things that came out to me as I was studying this. Number one is the spirit, and the other two is the wind. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. And now, the spirit, when we talk about the spirit, when it says the spirit of the Lord fell upon me, that means it was something that was overwhelming that came over him. It came over him. But he could not do anything until he spoke it out.
That's right.
And that was breathing, that wind. He spoke to the four winds. And you know what we're talking about in Genesis, where the Spirit of God framed Adam. In Genesis, it talks about the breath of life. He gave life by breathing breath. So when I look at that and I saw the wind, I'm looking at the wind God is breathing. He gave Ezekiel the authority to be able to speak to the four winds, and those winds was that divine authority to be able to bring life into those dry bones. Now, here's where I'm going with this. Oftentimes, we can get excited where we are. We can get excited about the word, but if we don't speak it out, if we don't use the word to speak it out into existence, it just becomes an excitement. It just becomes a mental stimulation. Man, I feel good about church today. I'm sure you feel good, but what did God tell you to do? So when we speak out into others, we speak out into those dry places. When we speak out into those people who feel like they're dying, God is giving us the breath to be able to speak life into those.
Speak life. That's right. That's right.
Those dry areas. And by speaking life into those dry areas, they become alive. Why? Because we were commanded by God. Sure, we got excited by the Spirit, but we were commanded by God to speak it out, to talk to the wind and allow the Spirit of God, both the wind, to be able to get into their spirits and turn them around. So that whatever was said, whatever that God had us say to them, They changed. They didn't feel the same as they did before. That's what I got from this. We can get excited about the Spirit, but we have a job to do, to speak. Just listen, God has given us the authority to speak and call those things as though they are not.
That's right.
Speaking into those dead places. And when I was doing my study with this, that's what I established from this. Those two things have to come together. Sure, we get that overwhelming spirit, but we have to speak the word out. We have to speak the authority out. And that's that breath. That's that wind that changes people. People are not going to get excited because we're jumping up and down and all excited. We have to speak it out. Speak it to their spirits. Turn those dry bones so that they live again. So that
exactly.
They know that God has a plan for them. God has a plan for them.
Exactly.
Bring them up.
Amen.
Wake them up.
Speaking life and speaking the word. Speaking life, speaking the word, speaking God's heart, God's character. Just like the Lord spoke us into existence, He's given us in Jesus, in the, you know, with the cosign by using the name of Jesus, the power and the authority to do those things in Jesus' name. And so when we use the Lord's name, that although you don't see, although you may not see the manifestation of your family being healed, You say what you want to happen. What you want is in line with Christ. It's in line with the Word.
Mm-hmm.
That you have authority to say, because you're a child of God and you use the name of Jesus. So you speak life to a situation. So even though you see that someone is sick, you're speaking life to them, speaking life over them, prophesying to them, encourages them, and brings life to them. Now, whether if it's like life and death situation, whether they manifest the reward or the healing on this side of heaven or in heaven, is to be seen. But when you speak the word, it does go forth and it will not return void. So when you say, I see that it looks troubled. I see that a child is struggling with addiction. I see that, but I speak life to that situation, and I see him, and I speak life and say that you will be addiction free. You know, and I speak life and I pray that way, that the child will be addiction free, that he will find people to surround him, that will support healing, that others will speak life to him, that he'll lose the taste of whatever they may be addicted to, that no harm would come to them. So as I see it, just because I see that it looks hopeless and helpless and depressed, doesn't mean that my reaction has to be that way. So mm-hmm. just because I see the word tells us that in spite of what you see, that you speak the word and what the word says. And God's word tells us that we will be healed. God's word tells us that we can be free in Jesus Christ. God's
yeah.
word tells us that mm-hmm. we will rejoice and we can find joy in the things mm-hmm. of God. God's word tells, you know what I'm saying? So you have
yeah.
to keep saying those things and keep mm-hmm. saying it and keep mm-hmm. saying it, and you speak energy and life into that person and into the situation. Because when a person is captive in that way, and I'm thinking of addictions or whatever could be holding them, it's not just in them, it's on them too. It's not just what's in their mind or in their heart, because they can desire something different, but if they don't have the strength to do it, it's going to take other people from the outside to speak to them and change the situation and change the atmosphere. Change the atmosphere, change the situation, change your heart, change your mind.
Amen. Amen. Because that word is so powerful. It goes into the spirit and into the bone. You know, it's amazing. The word goes into the spirit, goes into the natural part and the spiritual part. And it just like a sword, just goes, just like what happened to Brother Hawthorne. You know what the doctors thought. That word just went and pierced through all that negative that the doctors mm-hmm. and what was even seen, and it recreated what the word
Amen.
Says.
Amen.
What the word
Amen.
Says.
Amen.
And, Amen. And what I could see that you and Elder did, Doctor, is that you always spoke the word into the atmosphere of that place that he's at, into the atmosphere of his spirit, into the atmosphere of his body, and
yes.
it had to come alive. It's just like like the doctors want us to take doses of medicine. You gave him, and if you're too bad, take a double dose. Well, you've given him a double dose of the word, a triple dose of
Amen.
The word, and he had to come. God is so good.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Is so
Amen.
Good, and he's
Change
given us that authority. Amen. Amen.
Oh.
And he's given us that authority.
The enemy cannot operate in the presence of praise. The enemy
yeah.
cannot operate in the presence of praise.
Amen.
You have to recognize what something is, and in spite of what you see, you speak, and in spite of what you feel, in spite of what you feel, you have to speak to those things that are not as if they are,
mm-hmm.
because they are in the spirit realm.
What's yeah.
going on in the spirit realm can be reflected here on earth. When we speak
mm-hmm.
it, you put things in action with our
mm-hmm.
words, with the word of our mouth, and the enemy cannot operate. So we're
Amen.
Blinded oftentimes, and we accept situations because that's how we've been trained. That's
mm-hmm.
how we've been trained. You got a lifetime, or better than that, you got generations upon generations of being trained, especially for people of color. Everything is prejudice. Everything is abuse. Everything is so-and-so. So the least little thing, that's you go to that realm instead of going to the realm of Christ.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That you,
yeah.
have to, you have to look at it and call it for what it is and
mm-hmm.
give it over to the Lord. I rebuke prejudice. I rebuke addiction. I rebuke so-and-so
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And
mm-hmm.
when I do that, I release. Then you have to speak into the atmosphere and speak to the enemy and say what you release, because you can bind and paralyze
All
the
right.
enemy yes. by your word.
That's the word.
By your
yep.
word
yes.
in the name of Jesus, if you
That's
know Christ. And if
That's
you have, if you are operating in the things of God, you can bind and paralyze those things of the enemy and cast the enemy and his imps out. Okay, but the way you keep them out is by replacing and speaking on things that need to be in the atmosphere, like
yeah.
joy and like peace, like a desire
mm-hmm.
for the things of God, for health, wellness. You know what I'm saying? You have to speak those things also into the atmosphere.
Amen.
What you don't see doesn't matter. What you feel doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's what you know is what you know works, and what you know that the Lord would have you to do, and that's to fill up the atmosphere, overflowing, suffocating with the things of God. And the Holy Spirit completely envelops you and whoever you're praying for that you can't even get out, that is so heavy that you can't get out from under
wow,
it.
Wow, that's
sick.
Good.
You can't get through it. You know what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm,
that there are people in the hands of protection, the folks around you who are praying that you stay in God's will. Amen.
Mm. Amen. That's good.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're getting any more comments, because we're getting closer toward the end of the hour. Amen. Amen. And so we conclude.
This is a good word.
With Ezekiel. We conclude with Ezekiel. The Spirit of the Lord came upon me. And God said to say to the priest and the prophet, you will have a new heart and a new spirit.
My God.
Speak to someone who has just lost their job. Speak to someone who is looking for a new career. Speak to someone who had cancer. Speak to someone who is in a nursing home or a hospital. Speak to someone who has lost their zeal for the Lord. Amen.
This is good.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. For those of you that have listened by internet, you can call in at any time. And you call 347-237-4054. And you can be connected to the interactive part of our Bible study. And we are is just a bunch of believers. A bunch of believers who's crazy about the Lord. That's all we are.
Amen.
Just a bunch of believers coming together and rejoicing because of how good God has been to us. And I know he's been good to you also. So we invite you who are listening by internet, who are listening by phone, to join us as we jump for joy and celebrate Christ. Thank you so much. Father, we thank you. In fact, I'm going to ask Pastor Robinson, would you please close us out in prayer?
Amen.
Yes. Father God, we thank you, God, for this Bible study tonight, God, the feedback that we've gotten and the feedback that we give. Father God, I thank you, God, for Elder John, Father, and the ministry, God, that he continues to bring forth on this Blog Talk Radio. Father God, thank you for all the other ministers that's online, God, that we love to hear their voices, God, when we can. Father, I just thank you so much, God, for allowing me the opportunity, God, to sit in tonight, Father. But Father God, we ask, God, that as we go forth here from tonight, God, that we will take this word, God, and as the elder said, prophesy to somebody, God, who is going through. Prophesy to somebody, God, who is addicted to drugs and alcohol, God. Prophesy to somebody, God, who is running the streets. But most of all, God, prophesy to somebody, God, who is lost and don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We pray for each one on here tonight, each one that's listening by radio or the internet, God. God, I pray, God, right now, stretching my hand forth, God, that whatever they ask for, God, and they desire it in their heart, God, that you will fill that desire, God. Oh, God, whether it be healing, whether it be financial blessing, or, God, whether it be a relationship, connection, God, or whatever it is, God, God, I speak right now in the name of Jesus, Father, and we thank you in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Remember, every day is a new beginning. And as we close, God has given us a new heart and a new spirit. Let's show it.
Amen.
God bless you.
Yes.